God is good. If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles this morning. I want us to take the declaration of the glory of the Lord. Let's open to the book of Job chapter 5. We'll read from verse 8. We're reading 11 verses there. It's the Lord we are describing, amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to let's go then. But as for me, I will seek the God. I will place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields, so that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, so that their hands cannot attain success. He captures the wise by their shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. By day they meet with darkness, and grope at noon as at the night. But it says from the sword of their mouth, and they pour from the hand of the mighty. So the helpless has hope, and unrighteousness must shut its mouth. Behold, how happy is the man who God approves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he inflicts pain and he gives relief. He wounds and his hands are also healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're stopping in verse 18. He said, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the Lord being described here. The Bible says that he does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields, so that he sets on high those who are lowly. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, those who think they know how to do it. Their hands cannot attain success. And he captures the wise by their own shrewdness. He says, how happy is the man whom God approves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have gathered us to come and hear from you, to come and learn from you. Lord, our hearts are open. Release your grace from heaven unto our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, my prayer is that each person will hear his or her word in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because we know you have heard us, because we ask in accordance with your will, we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Yeah, the book of Hebrews, that's where we're going to start from, chapter 3. Now, if you just to give a background to that book of Hebrews, of course, we have been looking at something, a particular theme for a while, that's talking about heaven coming down on earth. And essentially, what we have been talking about is how the Word of God actually works in our lives, or the fact that the Word of God is what we are targeting. It's a spiritual substance. I think I should just repeat this again. The Word of God is not a set of instructions. I said it before, when Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 1 that God said, let there be light. That's English for us. But when Moses wrote in Hebrew, that was just a way you could express to a human being what transpired in the things of the spirit. Because you see, there was nobody to hear those words. No human ears. So the exact words he used were not important. All right? Or are not important. But what really happened was that God released from inside him a spiritual force. And that force, for you to interpret it as a human being, you have to hear it in words, letters, you know, like let there be a light. But God wasn't explaining to anybody like that. He just, the way I illustrated it, you just hear something like, and there was light, and you will see light. You hear a breeze blow past, and then the earth, the firmament will separate. Then you hear, do you get my point? Or you're just, if you want to know the way it really happened, something like that, I'm just trying to explain, it's something like that, okay? So God was not writing letters to anybody. He was not trying to teach English grammar to anybody, or Hebrew grammar, no. What he was just doing was releasing what was inside him. And when you saw that manifestation, you knew what he thought about. Because the word logos includes the thoughts of God. And the spiritual things, thoughts also, they are real. Do you understand? So when you hear, and then let the firmament go to this side and the waters gather here and let dry land appear. Really, if you were physically present there and it was creating physical movement, all you hear is... And it's described like that. It sounds like what? Thunder. The Bible makes it clear that oftentimes it just sounds like thunder. It just sounds like thunder. And that's what the word of God will be like. It just sounds like thunder to you. So, now, where I'm going is that, is that spiritual substance that God is trying to pass across to us? Okay? That spiritual substance. Which you know what it says by the effect it produces. You're getting my point. So, he will send his word, and it produce what? Healing. It will produce deliverance. Now, for us to connect, now back to our own connection there, for us to connect with that word, therefore, or for us to connect with that word, you have to hear it in a particular way, and we've said it comes in a number of ways. Number one, I mentioned about instructions. Yeah, I forgot to add something. It should be instructions and prophecies, all right? Instructions and prophetic words. That's one way by which it comes. It comes again as what? Stories. History. You hear stories. And there was a woman, Deborah, the wife of Lapidus. It sounds like a simple story. She was a judge in Israel. And the word of the Lord came to Deborah. And she called on, what's the name of the chief of the army? Barak. And Barak refused to go without her. You know, just a story. And there was this guy that was left-handed. Do you remember him? Yeah, that stuck a knife so deep into somebody, and they didn't know it was a knife there. You know, hey. It's just, honestly, sometimes ridiculous stories. Oh, let's talk about the story of the guy, Samson. That Samson story, you can read it 1,000 times. Each time you read, you get a new lesson. But it's not the lessons, really. It's not what is the moral of the story. Tortoise should not lie to the neighborhood. That's not what the Bible is about. You know, when you tell children stories, you hear the moral of the story. No, in the scriptures, yes, sometimes you get a moral in some of those stories. There's a moral, right? But really, forget the moral. Just read the stories. There's a spirit in the story, not a moral. There's what? A spirit. There's a spirit that writes across into your heart because of that story. Please, let me go over it again. Read your Bible regularly. What did I say?
Read your Bible
regularly. Yeah, read the scriptures. You're not, you know, there's this attitude with human beings as if I've read it before. God has helped me with that one. In fact, if I buy a book, the chances are that at least maybe 50% I've read it before. Maybe I borrow somebody's own or I used to have it. I've read it before. It doesn't throw me off. It brings me back. Almost everybody, every book I'm reading right now, I've read several times before. I just want to connect with a particular spirit. I go and get the book again. You know, I still remember once, my first time in life, I was having that kind of experience. You know, I know sometimes you can just sit down and people will just bring trouble to you. You know, you've been in an office. Now, sometimes, you know, it's not good to judge yourself as if you're the perfect one. But you know the truth. There are times in which you didn't do anything wrong. Somebody just decided that he doesn't like the way you look. And he may not even know why he doesn't like the way you look. It may just be because you remind him of his uncle that was very wicked. You will laugh like that uncle. Why should you laugh? Since he was young, he wanted that uncle to suffer. And there he is laughing. And it's you. It's not your, you're not his uncle, though. And he doesn't realize it. You come 1 minute late to work. And the whole street will hear the shout. The way you've been coming late to this office. Just because the little senior to you. And you're looking like, the last 1 month, I've not come late one time. Today, I came late by 1 minute. And everybody knows how heavy the rain was. You know the problem? The problem is his uncle. In fact, there was a day one man came and met me. He said, this guy, what did I do to him? All right? It's an academic setting. He went for like a promotion interview and stuff like that. And one man came against him. And I happened to know the guy. So he came to my office. He said, please, Oga, what did I do to that man? I said, who? He said, I said, no. It's not you. I said, it's not you. I said, don't take it personal at all. Because like maybe he wanted to get promoted. And this man said, no, this promotion cannot happen. So when he came out to see me, he said, Oga, please, I don't get it. I just want to know what I did to him. I said, no, it's not you. I said, the thing just comes upon him. Yeah, he doesn't care. See, let them remove you from that city, put somebody else. He'll do the same thing. Somebody I know very well. I said, you know what happened to him? Yes, there are 5 people on the panel, as an example, and 4 are agreeing with you. And he has to make it clear that he's important and that he knows more than the other 4. So he's opposing you to beef his ego. That's all. So I begged him. I said, don't worry. When you see him on the road, don't be angry with him. I said, he needs help. Let's make a long story short. I had my first encounter with such a person in my life. Well, at least, I've had one like that before in my adult life, but this was one that was really, really, hey. It was somebody that said, I don't know why Nigeria said, you can't have guns, though. Because we just shoot somebody. You know what I'm telling the story? That was my first, you know, it was a trial of faith for me. How do I handle this guy? That was the first time I felt sorry for my wife. He said, sir, what has that got to do with your wife? I'll tell you. Because I suddenly said, then I've been married for about 5-6 years. I suddenly played back in my head how I treated my wife for 6 years. I can't remember 5 or 6 years now. So I started checking. Did I do anything like this? Because if I did anything like this, this girl don't suffer. I don't know whether you get my point. Yeah, because this guy had they gave him some power over me at that time. Of course, you know, it's a setting where power comes, power goes, just a matter of time, you know, it moves around. So he entered the power position. So I quickly played back in my head. In the last five, 6 years, how have I treated this young woman? Okay. So that day, of course, phones were already available. There was the early days of GSM. I just called my wife. I greeted her out of nowhere. Hey, baby, how you doing now? I'm fine. How are you feeling? Sure you're good? Do you need anything? I'm going to tell you I love you, I appreciate you. My wife looking like, it's not like he doesn't say things like this, but at this time of the day, it's a bit off. No, that's how I feel. Because I started feeling sorry for her that if anybody who had authority over you behaves like this, you'll be suffering. Now, where I'm going, do you know how I handled it? I went and took the book, Love, The Way to Victory, by Kenneth Hagin. Because if I didn't read that book, I would throw that guy from upstairs. See, if God didn't do anything, I'm going to draw a big, you know this 2x2, you know they call 2x2? I'm going to whack him over the head. Sit. And he wouldn't see it coming. I'm going to knock him cold. That's how I felt. I said, what do I do? Father, help me. And I remembered Kenneth Hagin, Love the Way to Victory. So I went and read it. I wasn't looking for methods. Please, let me just emphasize this again. And that's what a lot of us don't know about the scriptures. And many of us preachers, we try to break the word down to methods. And not as if it's wrong, do you get my point? I mean, even I do it, in fact. I still have it. I saw a teaching I scribbled down somewhere early hours of this morning. And I'll do the teaching, God helping me. Titled, How to Take Refuge in the Lord. And I gave a number of, shall I say, steps? But really, they are not steps, really. So let's not break the word. Because sometimes, there are preachers who don't have steps. They preach to you for 2 hours. You can't leave the place with any steps. And when I was younger, I used to think that it didn't do me any service. But now I'm older. I don't think things like that anymore. Some people that blessed me the most in life, they just tell you something. Many times we want to break the word of God down to steps. No, it's not about steps. Just hear it. You know what happens? A spirit will ride over it. That's what I'm emphasizing. The spirit will ride over it. That spirit will give you restraint. That spirit will prevent you from knocking somebody over the head. You know, that's what I was telling you? Yeah. It will prevent you from throwing somebody from upstairs. And let me tell you, spirits are very powerful. Sometimes when you hear people that spirits have possessed, a lot of people are in prison. They are not criminals. A spirit possessed them. You know, one of these Bible studies the other day, one of these online Bible studies we do on Fridays, we were in the studio. You know, your husband said something. He told a story of how somebody offended him. When he was in secondary school, shortly after secondary school, that day I said, God saved somebody in this life. And he said how God saved him. He said suddenly he was so angry with that guy, he told himself, I will kill this guy. He was going to get a knife and stab this man. Do you understand? Because the guy so annoyed him. And he had the plot. That is, he plotted. He wasn't angrily thinking. The plot was solid. That this guy, okay, I'm going to break bottle for you. Something like that. I can't remember the details now. So he sat down, still fuming. So like a few minutes before he executed his agenda, two brothers just walked in and sat down. I started talking to him. Like, they didn't know what happened though. They just said to, at that point, I may come and see him. They just came in, sat down. How are you doing? Maybe the brothers just started talking. Then he broke and started crying. And I guess he didn't know why. I can tell you what happened. One spirit came, and that one came, and pushed that one out. Then the man came to himself. There was a guy, I still read the story yesterday. He walked into a bank in London. Nobody offended him, just looked for one guy randomly, took a knife, sank into his chest, and walked out. I went and lay down on the ground and slept. They sentenced him yesterday. It was in the BBC News. That's how come I saw it. Does he know the guy? No. He just went down the banking hall at random, just looked around. And the first person's eye is caught. He approached the fellow. Do you understand? You can't fight back. He wasn't owing. You don't know him. You're not owing him. And he just one stroke, took a sharp knife, pierced the guy's heart. Spirit. See, what we need in life is that flow of the right spirit. That's why I keep telling people, say, when the Bible says, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There is a reason why. Remember I said there are three levels there. The lowest is beauty, which is vain. You understand? Oh, that woman is fine. I say that's not. It's vain. It doesn't mean anything. The other one, charm. Again, I've said it's good behavior. When the Bible talks about charm, it means good behavior. Literally, it means, the woman, the way she talks, she doesn't talk back at you. She knows how to talk to elders. She knows how to offer to water your donkeys, all those kind of things. That's why it's called charm. Very good. I mean, that the kind of thing that your hand will, you put your hand on your head. May a human being like this still there. The Bible says it's deceitful. That when they married Jezebel, she was like that. I didn't say that, but I'm trying to give you an idea. It's very deceitful. But he said, but the woman who fears the Lord, that's the spiritual end of it. The woman who fears the Lord is the spiritual end. You know why? It is the kind of spirit that can enter the person that matters. That's the point. The kind of spirit that may enter the individual, that's what matters.
Because this person that's doing nice, woo, did they go carry bottle, break him for war? Look, once I traveled to with my boss that time, I think we went to Shagam. Went to see their chief prosecutor, something was an issue. So, the woman was a lady, was a prosecutor in the government. But not in a story of one case she was handling. I said, God, may spirit not handle somebody. Describe the story of how two evangelizer and a mechanic around the same, you know, work yard, they had a quarrel. And they started, you know, the way young men of that, they started fighting. So people came and separated them. So this fight ended. And the organizer was angry. But one of them was angry with the other, was still good. Then suddenly, his eye caught a bottle. He took it in one instant, smashed it, launched at that guy and sank into his neck. And the guy died. The fight was over. They had come, the other guy could have defended himself. But the fight was over. The other angry man was walking away when the eyes caught a bottle on the floor. He didn't know when he went for that bottle. In one smooth movement, took it, smashed it, jumped at the other guy. Before anybody could turn what was happening, the sharp end of the bottle was in the guy's neck. Unfortunately, if you know what, there are so many vessels there you don't touch. Now, one man is dead. The other one, of course, but at that time, his eyes now opened. His eyes now opened. And there's no story you want to tell. It's murder. American can argue whether it's first degree, second degree, whether it's third degree, but it's murder. And so this lady was just seeing us about things like that, that happened. And of course, the one who killed that fellow, at the time we're hearing the story, was very sober. You know, there are gangsters that are not sober. Say, yeah, man, he got it coming, man. He had it coming, you know. I come and trade on his stuff. I mean, we're selling drugs here, man. That's my top. That's my area. So we got to take the guy out. That's it. This one, I just fight. He was in police. He was in the prison cell. They come telling him that, I've told you to watch your temper. He did that thing. He had no control. He was not the one in charge. So that's what the Bible is more concerned about. Now, like I've been saying, the kind of spirit the person can receive, the kind of spirit the person can receive is what is more important. Not whether the fellow is of good character or is a very nice guy. So a movie once, there's a movie, but it lost our life. Is there were two guys there. One was a nice family man. He had two children. He's doing his business. And this other guy who, you know, this kind of boys that you don't even know where they are going with their lives. Marry, you know, go marry. You go see one woman today, another woman tomorrow. But his business partner, nice, responsible, family man. The children run his business, doesn't do very stable. But you know, the other guy, see one woman with him today, another tomorrow, he has money today, tomorrow doesn't have again. See, meet him at one beer parlor, he's drinking away. Ah. Now, that's their normal life, right? Then, one business went bad. A man and a woman defrauded them. And they thought it was going to be good business. So they went and borrowed money from the mafia boss. So, only for them to wake up and $500,000 was gone. So the other guy, who was the one, you know, that rough guy, the one I was telling you about, it was the one that carried them to the don to go and borrow money. That, look, this business is good. In a short while, we'll get our $2 million. We'll pay the don back. And the don had told this other guy, because where's the security for his money? So he looked at him and said, you have a family. Your family is your security. Do you get the point?
Yes.
So time to come and pay back. Oh, story starts. So the guy realized that his security. Now where I'm going is that it was a movie quite all right. I watched it long ago, more than 20 years ago. Do you know? when this guy turned, this family man, when he turned, he became a murderer. This way he was killing people. He said, you will find me my money. You look like, was it not this guy that was a nice family man? No. When the murderer in him came out, the other one that you thought would be the rough guy. No, he was one that was begging, so, but calm down. When this guy turned, like I said, it was a movie. But he showed us what could happen to human beings. When he turned, when the spirit possessed him, I looked and said, nobody would have guessed. If you see the way these two guys are behaving, you know, after this other guy that looks rough, you know, always in the beer parlor, changing one woman for another, he's the one that would do this. Not this responsible family man. When the pressure was down, he became a vicious animal. When he felt threatened, he felt cornered. That's why the Bible says, the woman who fears the Lord. Please remember, I keep on saying that when the Bible talks about woman, it's not just the adult female. It's telling about life generally. That woman could be, in quote, a man. So that women can even take lessons from it. So it is the spirit, that's what I'm saying, that can pass across, that we are dealing with. What spirit is moving across? So when the Bible is talking, back to where we began, you know, about the word of God. When you are reading it, it's a spirit. So that time, I went and read that book just to drink of a patient spirit. Because like we read this morning, that's from that book of Job. Let me just go over it again. What did he say about that book of Job? In that book of Job, describing God, that God will, see, when it comes to adversaries, God will avenge himself of adversaries. He doesn't have time. I mean, like, when he wants to punish, look at what he says. Which verse is that now? Yeah, he frustrates the plan of the shrewd so that their hands cannot attain success. He saves from the sword of their mouth. He saves the poor from the hand of the mighty. So the helpless has hope. And unrighteousness must shut his mouth. We didn't read this one, but if you go to verse 19, he said, from six troubles he will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. Now, where I'm going is that you notice something. Even though you are in trouble, okay, God is your avenger. That's where I'm going to. He will deliver you. Do you follow? So, it's not necessary for believers. You know, there was a time, please, God help me to forget it, but there's a lesson in it. I felt very bad when conflict began in Nigeria, and Christians, we felt we were being targeted and slaughtered and all of that, okay? In fact, when the former government came into power, the vice president, Yemi Osinbajo, had to go and address is it PFN or CAN meeting in Benin that time. Some of the things he had to address because it was going to tear the nation apart, because once everybody now comes about Christian and Muslim and all of that, okay? Of course, those who are doing the killing and all of that, they are not, well, I think I can say this boldly, they were not government agents. They were not being backed by government. I think I can say that certainly, even though we like to think so, okay? So where I'm going is that, what do you expect criminals to do who says they are jihadists, as an example? Do you understand? It's just what they do, okay? They do it everywhere. It wasn't particular with Nigeria. So, but what pained me that time was the fact that we decided that what we would do is to march on the streets and look to government and say, where is deliverance? Government. I felt very bad. We got our big men to march on the streets. And I know if they didn't do it, you know what Saul did that time? The people would depart from them. I say it boldly, it was very bad. Christians don't do that. Yeah, we have to correct ourselves. It was very bad. It was very bad. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. That's scripture. So the more things that happen, the more time we should spend in prayer. The more things like that will happen, the more time we should spend in prayer. How can you, from where would they help you? I remember my friend that time, Pastor Courage, was PFN, the president or chairman, yes, in Sokoto. So when the whole crisis began, they said, okay, what do we do? So they came and met him that let them go to the police and all of that, arrange protection for the churches. He looked at them. And at that time, there were two bomb blasts in Sokoto then. One of them was in the police headquarters. So he called them and said, oh, that's the person he wanted to go to for protection. His own HQ is being bombed. So at the end of it, so they asked me, okay, you are the chairman. What should we do? He said, what are you people? You are Christians. Not only Christians, he was talking to the pastors. He said, that's the job we do. We pray. They said that they will get bomb detectors or expose the set of metal detectors for entrance of churches. So he asked them, say, when you have finished detecting the bomb, what will you do? Did you hear what he said? He said, yeah, bomb detector. You know the people. They will detonate there. They are okay with donating at that spot and killing the people around at that point. They're happy with it. So David said, okay, what do we do? He said, that's what you're supposed to do, pray. So he gathered them. Until today, that prayer meeting is still on, years later. They have not stopped it. They haven't stopped it after many years. He said, this is what they are supposed to do, pray. And one day, I arrived there. I was not his guest. I was a guest of the PFM. They had a conference. I was the one preaching. Youth conference. So when the then PFM boss, who was after him, came to pick me from the airport himself. So when I arrived, I saw him talking with the second in command of the Nigeria Army Division in that area. So they were talking, introduced me to the man. So it was not telling what they were talking about. There were issues I can't tell you now. So he was telling me about those things. But was not telling stories of what happened that period. That the way God, those guys actually came to that area to make trouble. They had their camps here and there. Said the way God used to, expose them was mysterious. It was mystery. The way God used to expose that. Of course, that's why you didn't hear too much. After a while, bam, the whole thing that's in the region, it died. All the noise we were hearing was from the other side of the country. The same noise still. But the other side, it died off. I was hearing testimonies. The mist. They said, one particular one that struck me was when, he said the commander just told, okay, the soldiers to go for patrol. And so decided to go a particular area. It was a deserted part of the city or the state. So they were just going on patrol, like thinking nothing will happen. So guys just move around with their weapons. They were not expecting any trouble. We'll just be patrolling. Not knowing that they walked right into where those insurgents were gathered. Now the insurgents, seeing them approaching, thought that they knew they were there. Meanwhile, people were just going, so they were, next thing, they started taking fire. They started hearing the gunshots. So they quickly went down for cover. Of course, they were not armed enough to face those guys. So what did they do? They called for reinforcement. Describe what was happening, where they went down under cover. Those guys would have just walked past or driven past, not knowing anything was happening. But they thought they saw them. They started firing. Of course, superior backup came with heavy weapons. Yeah. So those ones just went fast. Of course, they identified where the fire was coming from and gave it to them. You know the rest of the story. They got there, saw large, deposits of weapons. Those guys had come ready for issues, if you know what I mean. That's how God exposed them, truncated that. And they said they had stories like that. What am I saying? The prayers they were praying, God was answering. Later I heard from another person, is this the same person that told me this or another one of the ministers? Give me that one day they were praying. I can't give you details, all right, because we are streaming. Then the word of God came. One of the prophets there spoke that the Lord said they should remove their shoes. Pastors or ministers, their wives, they remove their shoes and put it on hot northern Nigeria saw in the afternoon, it was burning. Like God, waiting. Say, thus says the Lord. This is how this land will be for the insurgents. So this is what you read in the prophets in the Bible. They happened here today. Another thing happened. God said, they will have nowhere to hide. And you know what? They didn't have anywhere to hide. Brethren, God actually defends his own. He actually protects his own. In a lot of times, we don't cry to him. I don't know why I took that tangent, all right? So, Christians, we should understand something. It is not our portion to be trying to defend ourselves. I think one of the ways you can threaten somebody the most, all right? So laugh at the person and say, don't worry. The Lord will handle it. I mean it. Remove case from court, remove it from police. Don't worry, the Lord will handle it. Anybody that has sense should be afraid. See, and you, when you are doing business too, Christian, listen to this. When you want to handle issues, anything you are doing, business, anything, open your papers for the Lord. Maybe me and Joseph now, we have business. I was supposed to do this. He brought 1 million, I brought 1 million. So we're supposed to do, at the end of the day, wake up at night and show God, see, oh, this is how the money is. How much am I supposed to give him? By the agreement now, is it not 50,000 naira? Okay. Or is it more than that? Okay, just awareness of that, Lord. That's more, let's just give them down with 55. Open it to the Lord. What I'm trying to do is that, where I'm going is that, I have to deal honestly before the Lord. Because he's the one that's the ultimate judge. I should stay in front of him and show him the books, show him the papers. And sometimes, like I've told the story many times, Haji Lutuno, God told him, let the man have the money. Even though he didn't deserve it. He didn't. But the Lord said, let him have it. That is, you do everything like it is God, it is God with whom you have to do. It's not the law of the land. Because there are times the law of the land will be on your side. I remember one particular case in Nigeria. A man was owing one big bank. So he went to court. Let me just say something to you. Don't let a lawyer help you win every case. Because lawyer can twist the... Yeah. By law, he'll win. But before God, you will lose. You know what happened to that man? Now, I don't know the details, but then tell you what happened. The laws at that time, I don't know about now. No, the law was written when ledgers were pages in a book. So the law said, this would be interpreted according to what is on the bank ledger. Do you understand? And the ledger at that time was what? Books. Now, that's when the law was written. But when this man borrowed money from the bank, the banks are started recording on computers. So they argued that there were no ledger records. You don't get it? But it's the law. It was law. I remember very well, I read in the papers, the Court of Appeals judge, justice, that delivered the judgment in the man's favor. The man said it, that he's sorry, he's duty bound to uphold the law the way it is written. And the law says ledger. Your computer printout is not a ledger. Why did he provoke? What's the problem? So, do you follow my point? There's one thing the appeal court judge said, which is very, I think he was trying to make a point, that appeal this thing to Supreme Court, they can decide that the ledger can be interpreted, because that's what Supreme Court does. Supreme Court is not just about interpreting there's what they call, they are like a constitutional court. They can tell you what this thing means currently. They are the only ones that have the power. The people below. Because if they do that, they can go higher and they say no. So the appeals court judge, that's when I learned that thing. He told them clearly, I understand your point, but the law says ledger. This is a computer printout. So that it's not admissible. They can't use it. And the businessman was saying, hey, I told the bank. Now, of course, like all of you are getting angry. That's how angry I was. Even the appeal court justice, he understood that. And he technically just said, let's appeal this thing upwards. Let's see what the Supreme Court will say. Where I'm going is that if you're a Christian, if you do that, that business, God will personally destroy it. That's what I'm saying. God say, oh boy, you are, you know, Onyoshi. You know what they call Onyoshi? Okay, some of you don't speak that kind of English. But it means you're a thief. No, God said, you're a thief. You do borrow the money, yes. He said, now the paper they wrote it on is not, yes, by law. In fact, when God wants to do you strong sin, he will just say the other guy, don't appeal. Leave him. Let me handle this matter. Let me handle this matter. By the time, God will give you, let me just say another thing. God takes time. You know, he'll give you time to repent. It's in the scriptures. He said, I gave her time to repent. Talking about Jezebel. I gave her time. God gives time. God gave David time. David killed Uriah, took his wife. God gave him time. The woman carried pregnancy till he was 9 months. So from the time he killed Uriah, maybe she was like, maybe 6 months more. The baby was born. God said, I'm giving you time. After more than a year, David still had not taken advantage of the time. Then once the prophet comes, oh boy, it's too late. So there are things you will tell your friend. You tell your, I won that court case. So a good friend will tell you, say, oh boy, how did you guys win? The court said the thing was on a computer printout, not a ledger. Your friend will say, but ledger or no ledger, did you take their money? Go and pay them now. Is God giving you what? Time. Because when he decides to avenge himself of his adversaries, what God calls his adversaries are not the Assyrians. So they are the people of God that disobey his law. They are the ones he calls his adversaries. When he decides to avenge himself of his adversaries, I have told wives, don't do your best to be submissive to your husband, because he answers. He answers. So I'm saying, God is an avenger. Now, I know, you know, in case you think I've lost my way, I know where I went into this. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. That I don't know what I was saying. I know what I was saying. What I was saying as a Christian, don't be defending yourself. Give room. The Bible says, for the vengeance of God. Because he said, vengeance is mine. Now, that's the first thing he said. The second thing is that this vengeance, oh, I go do am. No, there's some, vengeance is mine. Leave out now. Vengeance is mine. Just leave it. No. There's vengeance is mine. But this job of vengeance, is that English good? Vengeance. This avenging job, I will do it. I will repay. And I'll do two repayments there. The man who did evil, he will collect in payment. The one who did right, he will collect his own payment. So give me, just give me space. I know where I went all of that from. That was why when I faced a strange and unnecessary adversary, it was good that I went to read the book. Love, the way to victory. Because literally, if you can show love, now again, that's not your aim. But when you do show love to an adversary, somebody who's maltreating you, you know, you are, people think that you are heaping coals or fire on his conscience. No, it's not on his conscience, it's on his head. So whether he feels the conscience or not, he will burn. Some people think that, oh no, it's not everybody that will feel it too. God was not talking about how he feel like, oh, and I did Joseph bad, oh, and look at how he's being nice to me. Let me change. So, did he change? Against David. Did he change? No. He did not offer David. There was no change. He did not change. Saul didn't change. But did God repay? What did God repay Saul with? Eh? No, answer me. What is, eh? Death. What did he replace David with? Enthronement. Made him king. Saul did not repent. I mean, come on. Even which kind of repentance is no good repent? David had the chance. They said David wants to kill you and take your throne. Twice God delivered you on a platter. You know that platter that this guy used later on, thousands of years later? Herod. That platter that Herod used. God put you on the platter and gave to David. Arise, kill and eat. David looked and said, ah, the Lord's anointed now. No, David was a very strange human being. You know why? The second time, what did he do? He cut a piece of his garment. And he had a conscience problem. You're not getting it? His garment, though. This man has been throwing swords and sending. He wiped out a settlement of priests because they offered you food. And then you cut the edge. If I was the one here, in my wickedness, I won't kill him because the Lord's anointed. I can remove his leg and stitch it back. I said, my master, how many legs you get left? One. I said, I could have removed both and remove your neck. This man just removed a piece of his garment and he had a conscience issue. And he prophesied to his men, maybe you go to battle. Exactly what happened. And it's the reason why that one I'm certain about it, is a major reason why, no matter the adversaries who rose up against David, they couldn't kill him. He had to die a natural death. David had to die a natural death. Other ones, if Absalom had known the kind of person, Ahithophel was telling him what to do, if he had known the kind of person you were dealing with, you know about that. You have called him, say, sir, do you want to step down for the throne from me? I want to take it over. If he says no, it's okay, I change my mind. Yeah, don't fight such a man. A lot of people don't realize that the only reason David survived that thing was because of divine support. The whole of Israel had turned against him. Just a small band of his loyal soldiers from Judah that were still behind him. And they fought and won. Absalom had everybody on his side. And they fought and won. It was one reason. Because he allowed, he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That is God said, don't worry, I will do the vengeance. Please, when you come here, I write my own English, all right? Because that's what makes my message correct. If I speak accurate English, the message will not be accurate. So, which one do you want? Accurate English or accurate message? God bless you. So let's mess the English up. So that's the point. So God does it. That's what I'm saying. So back to what we're saying. I went to read the book, Love, the Way to Victory. Not because by doing that, I would trick the person. No, no. Is I let God do his thing. Let me do my own. See, I've said it again. We have our own commandments. What did I say?
We have our own commandments.
Yeah, in every situation, you have a commandment. In every situation, you have a commandment. Sometimes many of us don't know. You know, we have that experience a lot of times in Nigeria. You don't have it in America, I know. But if you have it in America, if a policeman does it to you in America, he'll go to prison for so long, he'll forget his name. So, but yeah, sometimes you can be on the highway. Somebody says, this is your number plate is not complete. They're like, what does it mean for a number plate to be complete? The last letter is not showing well. And he has your papers in his hand, his driver's license in one hand, and he has an officially issued high caliber weapon on his shoulder. Some people will be arguing. The Bible says don't argue. At that point, there's a name for him in the Bible. Who can tell me? There's a name. I heard it from the back. Oppressor. Said, do not resist the oppressor. That's your commandment. You know the way that I just, okay, what are you saying now? Well, okay, just buy us fuel now. You've heard that kind of thing before. A lot of Christians don't understand this. Say, stand against bribery. This is not bribery. You are now in front of an oppressor. Let me not say more than that. And please, if you are the oppressor, let me just talk to you. Stop oppressing. Don't you say more than that? Just stop oppressing. Because a lot of people don't know. We deal with an avenging God. We deal with an avenging God. We deal with an avenging God. Christian or not, you deal with an avenging God. Let me explain. He avenges. It's unrighteous and wickedness on his part if he does not. And he won't let it go on record that he did not. Please, never oppress anybody. I saw one young man the other day. Small boy, so. I withdraw the word young man. A small boy. You know, these kind of boys who are big and tall. I saw him dragging the other one. Oh, well, it looked like play, but I made it clear to them. Don't do this. Because I understand it. You're a little boy, so you are much bigger. You know the way it is. The word they use is bully. But this guy is his friend. So I don't want to use the word bully, but actually it was a technical bullying. Why is it bullying? Because he was forcing the guy to follow him. He said, and I said, what are you doing? He said, sir, I've been telling you that he was only, you know, so they were not enemies. I said, but you are making him go against his will. He said, it's for his own good. I said, no, it's against his will. I said, you're only doing this because you're taller and bigger than him. I said, no, release him now. They were laughing. No? He was laughing. And the smaller one, well, he wasn't very happy with the situation, but it was not a severe situation. It was not a serious one. So I said, let him go now. So he released him. I said, if you want him to follow you, talk to him. And if he wouldn't follow you, too bad. I said, this is what you will do. Your strength is only allowed to be used to defend. I made him and all his classmates repeat that. We use our strength to defend people. You don't make them do your will with your strength. Never. I said, now, out of the way, talk to him. If he doesn't want to stay, let him go. And the boy didn't want to stay, and he walked away. I said, good. That's the way it's supposed to be. You can't use, you're not a law enforcement agent. A law enforcement agent has been authorized by God and the state to enforce what? The law. Which is why if he enforces something else apart from the law, where in civil societies, you report him to his superiors and they put his butt in detention. And many times, they will sack him and then charge him to court. As small as it looks, teach your children, teach your friends, never, if God gives you authority, never use it to oppress anybody. If God gives you strength, never use it to oppress anybody. Let me tell your husband in the house, the only thing you're allowed to do is use mouth. You can't. This is my final word on this situation. It's you he's talking to. Macams. That guy, he manufactured a name out of nowhere to be calling a fire woman, Macams. You know what it means? Mama comes. So your own name is what? Pacams. Pacams. So, what I'm saying, you can't talk. If you like threaten. Brethren, you don't use force. Submission is 100% totally, completely, 100% totally, completely, fully. Give me more words. Let's do synonyms. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. I want to get 7. I have only 5. Entirely. Oh, God. Those of you who are still doing English in Waik and Jam, be writing it down because these are the synonyms. I have one more. No, I've used completely now. No, not genuinely. No, we're talking about proportions. Holy. Yeah, thank you. Holy. Yeah. Totally, completely, 100%. holy and all of that. Voluntary. Submission is what? Voluntary. Voluntary. In fact, there was one I do my wife recently. Let me just tell you. She doesn't like it, but I've made up my mind. That's what I will do to her. You know, there's a way we can talk and talk and talk, and we use the talk to make you do. I said, nah, not even the talk again. Once I express the will, once I express my will, you have a job to sit down and say, this is the will of God now. How do we follow it? But for me to be talking and talking until I wear you out with my coming, you know, there's less he wears me out with his frequency. Do you get my point? I said, no, I won't use that method again. You know why? Because submission is 100% voluntary. You submit as far as you wish to. I am forbidden from enforcing it. I enforce obedience with the children. Oh, yes. Camps. My camps, you go that side. But camps, you come. If I, before I blink my eye now, and I've already blinked the height, actually my, oh my, what do you mean? Come on. Do you want complete word or complete English? You go to university. I'm here. They say, she wants complete English. I told you, when you get here, what do you want? Leave the Jehovah. What do you want? Complete word or complete word? Thank you. So, I've already blinked the eye twice. If I continue before, that is, like my son said, I finished writing this one. I was teaching my boy, he was a very small boy at that time. He said, daddy, this one that's a big boy now. He said, daddy, see what I write. So I said, honey, it's not what you I write, it's what I wrote. He said, okay, he went back on the right. I've been writing this one. I said, no, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. So for the children, you can say, look, before I open my eye, oh yeah, pick pain. That's children. You can enforce obedience. Submission has no method for enforcement. It doesn't have. It doesn't have. You offer the word and then you wait for compliance. You cannot enforce obedience. That's submission. You don't enforce it. It's obedience you can enforce. And that's what the Bible will say, children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's the way it works. Those are the rules in it. You can't enforce submission. Now, Joe, how did you get it? Yes. Good. So that's it. Because we are dealing with what? An avenging God. We are dealing with an avenging God. God gives you strength. That's why I went to all husbands. No. You can't, you don't use that force. To keep things in order in your house. You use your instruction, your words of command. You express your will. Madam, it's now your job to see how we'll get it done. And like I keep on saying, you know, this morning, for certain reasons, some of you may have noticed, I came quite late. I mean, usually I'm here before almost, I mean, very, very early usually. This morning, I came late. Now, you know what? As I was rushing down, it was me and Benga. We're rushing down, you know. Then I got to that traffic light at that Pascal and Jake side. You know, there's traffic light that's 30 seconds. This one was 120. So I saw it from far. I beg. I get where they go this morning in my mind. So the other people don't have where they are going. So this traffic light is for those who don't have where they are going. Abi? Of course. And you know the way people are. I wish government would switch that in office. It was early in the morning. I got there. I pressed my brake. I told myself, what I say all the time, don't be hard to govern. That's what I keep saying. Don't be hard to govern. The light says, stop. You don't need policeman to cock a gun to tell you to stop. The light said stop. That's what it means to be civil. The light just told you stop. Press the brake. Ah, this morning, more than most times, it was pinching my body. I was looking at the light and cursing the light in my heart. Nonsense light. You'll be turning red anyhow. You don't even know when God is saying go green. But what did I do? Nothing. I stopped there. I came down. In fact, I had to come down to check something at the back of the car. I looked at the time. 2 whole minutes. Damn, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Finally, it turned green. Okay, we moved. The next one at the next junction, 40 seconds. So I said, so all of you conspired this morning that this man of God must go later than usual. But the point I said, you can't be hard. Oh, people were blowing past. Oh, that first one, I was the only one standing there. Everybody, boom, 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 boom. They were just blowing past. I said, no, I've made up my mind. I will not be hard to govern. I will not be hard to govern. God helping me, I will not be hard to govern. If they say stop, stop. Let the law enforcement agents spend their time on criminals. Because if decent people have to be governed by force, then it's a problem. In societies that are civil, the policemen they have time to spend on lawbreakers because the average person is not a lawbreaker. But when you have university professors cannot stop for traffic, pastors can't stop for traffic light, mothers cannot stop for the red light, then suddenly the whole society is lawless. It's not right. It's not right. So, back to what I say, we are dealing with what? An avenging God, though. We are. I learned this thing long. What I'm telling you, I learned it more than 25. In fact, do you know, once, there's a young woman, my neighbor and friend, when we're in Luth. So, one day, I was going out. I just, sis, please now, I'm going to buy something. You mind taking a walk with me, you know? Just wanted company. So, we went out. On the way, I saw where they were roasting corn, fresh corn. So I wanted to eat. But I asked her, would you like to eat corn? So I could put her into the budget. She said, no, she doesn't want to eat anything. It's okay. So I bought corn for only me. She was standing by me while I was buying corn. And I asked her whether she would like so we can buy for two. This is your portion. This is man of God's own. She said, no, she didn't want to eat corn. So I bought my corn, carried the corn. And we're walking back. Then suddenly, she changed her mind. Okay, at that time, I was already eating my corn. So I think there were 2 pieces. So I broke half of one for her. She ate it and took the other one. She said no. Basically, this young woman decided to colobby. You know, when you're a young man, you usually are very foolish when it comes to relating with ladies, all right? Young men are usually like that. But still marry them all the same. They will change, all right? I've changed quite a lot. And you saw these boys. They don't. Now, for young men, let me just tell you how to handle it, all right? Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Uh-huh. Give her the con. Some say, what? A young man, say anything you want to say, but give her the con. So I was there, sir, what are you saying? I know what I'm saying. I said, when you are young, you don't know how to handle it. We old men, we have learned. When you are young, you are very, very reasonable. What is the argument? I offered you. You were there 5 minutes ago. I was paying for corn. It was my money. I wanted to spend my money to buy you corn if you wanted. Fresh roasted corn. You denied. You refused. You did not want. Now I've bought corn. Come for only me, then 10 minutes down the line, or 5 minutes later, you now want my corn. And you're not even begging for it. You are taking it by force. That's the normal logic, all right? So you should retain your corn. I shouldn't give her, Abby. No, true of us. But I'm telling you now, guys, young men, in your own interest, just leave the corn. Grumble, Complain, no. Abuse and joy. That's what they do. What kind of nonsense is that? Release the corn. Don't collect your corn. It's your right, I know. But don't hold on to your right. Amen? Nobody seems to be agreeing with me. He that has an ear, let him hear. Because if he's now, that's what I would do. If my wife does that to me now, you want to carry the corn now. Which one you eat? In fact, I've lost appetite. I don't want corn again. But what I'm telling the story is that I did something. I was very angry. I was much younger. I'm like, what do you mean? So I took my corn by force. Force. Give me my corn. Of course, I was bigger than she was and stronger, you know what I mean? I took my corn. Now, please, was I right to take my corn?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I have not learned anything anyway. But he said, he hasn't learned anything. But I understand why he shouted. You see the way he said the yes? David, did you hear the yes? The yes was so emphatic. Yes, it's your corn. You should take it. God's on your side. In Jamaica, he's working with you. He's still learning. My cow will take your eyes. This is what he did like. So, naturally speaking, he was right, naturally speaking. But you know when I left the place? I said, Banky, the only reason why you took that corn is that you are physically stronger. You have abused your strength. You know, next day I went back to the young woman to go and apologize. Next day I went back. I knocked on her door. Sorry. Yesterday, you know, I took that corn by force. I said, I'm very sorry. I said, I will not do that again. You know why? I realized the only reason I took that corn was that I was physically stronger. That was the only reason. If I wasn't stronger, I wouldn't have seen that corn again. You know, literally my conscience did not let me rest. So the next day I went back to her and I apologized that yesterday, you know that corn incident, said, yeah. I want to tell you I'm very sorry. I won't do that again. Never, I realized, never, ever take advantage of your strength to oppress anybody. Especially if you have power in government, police, and all of that, you're fighting over land. Fight over the land legally. Go to court. Get people to do arbitration. Don't say because you know the IG. Oh boy, you will know somebody. What is IG? Inspector General of Police. There is Creator General of everybody. There is somebody who created everybody. That is, he will take you, the IG, the chief of, what do you call him? The chief of army staff. I wanted the one that's above, the chief of defense staff. You know what the law can do? He will take the three of them, put them in the same cell, and tell you to come and inspect. There was one IG we had in Nigeria at that time. Let me not tell too many stories. They just called and said, Oga, come. He came. When he was leaving the office, he was in handcuffs. When he came in, he was the big boss. When he was leaving the office, he was in handcuffs. You don't know God. Just, you know, because I told you guys, because we stream these things, that Jesus I can't give you. No, the Bible is clear in the Bible. Solomon said, no matter how powerful they are, people... What? The power belongs to God. The power belongs to God. Let me tell you again, no matter how powerful you think you are, don't ever use your power to oppress anybody. Deal fairly. You know, Paul, when he was leaving Ephesus, and of course, you know the most powerful of them all now. Who's the most powerful of them, humanly speaking? Now we pastors, we are the most powerful. We can make anybody do anything. And we are the ones that will be most strictly judged if you abuse that power. Never, I want pastors, they don't understand. I said, look. First, basically, you won't argue with me. Never use the power for your own good. Let me explain. I won't even use scripture to convince you to come and help me clean this hall or come on time. God forbid. I will ask you. You're okay. You're too late. Oh. But I won't mount here and start saying, praise God. Somebody say, late coming. Somebody say, late coming. Oh, hallelujah. When God is coming, those who come late, you are lying. You know, this manipulation is not good. You are trying to help intercessor leave that thing. You want to build church. As you are building this church, God will be building your house. It's manipulation. The roof of this church needs to be complete. Anyone who will build roof it, God will roof his life. Brethren, it's manipulation. No, God has, you know, there are areas where I know say I get grace. So that one, I get grace. If I want to collect money from you, I will tell you straight, guys, bring me money now. That's it. If you don't want to bring up, I'm not going to force you. If you remember, there was the time we raised money for a particular special project to help some ministry at that time. I told everybody, I'm raising this money three times, this announcement three times. If you want to give, this way you will bring the money. If you do, God will not bless you. Honestly, I don't care. If he wants to bless you, you go and meet him and ask for blessings. I am here this morning to collect money. And this is what we want to use it for. You know, that particular I'm telling you about. At the point that one brother called me, he was not in Enugu. He said, oh, God, offer. I said, right now we don't need money. And that, it got to that level. I said, no, we're okay for now. Hold it. When we need more money, I'll let you know. So I do my thing. You are not allowed. Even if you think what you are doing is good, don't manipulate people. Don't take undue advantage of the power you have, because we are dealing with what? An avenging God. We are dealing with an avenging God. All right? The Lord is good. All of this. Why do we begin this? I was trying to tell you the story. I took the book. So all of this story to explain why it was good to walk in love and not try to execute your own vengeance. Not try to defend yourself. Just do what you have to do according to the instructions of the scripture. It doesn't mean, like I said before, some months ago I talked about that God has is a just God. So when he tells you to do something, his instructions are not against justice. They are not. He's just saying, I will do the judgment. So when he tells the people of Israel, when he says, go with me 1 mile, go with him two. It doesn't make any sense. But what he's saying is that you are allowing the man to quickly fill his cup for judgment. Because before God can bring forth judgment, the cup must be full. Before God can bring forth judgment, the cup must be full. So when he says, if you say, go with me 1 mile, go with him two, what he was saying is that if you do that, then his cup will be full, then I will judge. When he says, when they slap you on the right, turn the left, he wasn't saying slapping you is good. But a number of things are in there. Number one, why are you being slapped? That's the first thing. Because there's a certain number of slaps you need to collect in your life for your head to be correct. That is one. The more, if the man slaps you one and you go away, you have to come and collect the second one tomorrow. So when he slaps you one and you turn the left, you are asking him to quickly give you two. So if your slaps to achieve your breakthrough, there are 14. So you are going to get it in 7 experiences. You understand my point? Occurrences. That is one. No, people don't know. Isn't it the Bible? Bible students, is that in the scriptures? Where is it? Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3. If God puts your ear, gives your head to ears to slap him, keep it there. Paradventure, he will show mercy is there. You think I invented it? Oh, did you know? It's in the scriptures. God actually gives people's ears for slapping. Find it. I'm waiting for you. And the second side of it is that he also has to fill the cup of his iniquity. That's the second side. Because the Bible says that the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. So there's a fullness. So when God wants to hasten judgment, he also sends opportunities for more iniquity. Why is Emma laughing? It's in the scriptures. What did Jesus say? He said, I will send them more prophets so they can do what? They can kill. Why? So that their iniquity will be full. Say, why? I want to bring judgment for the blood of all the prophets they have killed. From Abel to Zechariah. You understand? He said, I want to bring it in this generation. So this generation has to kill a certain number of prophets. No, that's what God does. So that's why I said, he now says too, if you're amongst those who will be slapped, keep the ear there. Let them slap it. Why? Vengeance is mine. I will avenge. I will repay. You have to understand, that's how God works. It is not as if he has lost his sense of justice. He hasn't lost it. He can't lose it. He's a righteous God. What he just said, you cooperate with me until I execute my judgment on the peoples. Do you get my point? So that's why I was saying that, yeah, reading the book wasn't supposed to mean that judgment will not be served. Just means it's not in my hand. Just means it's not in my hand. So what I would do is to, yeah, you know, I was saying that in each situation in life, you have your own commandment. Don't forget it. In each situation in life, you have your own commandment. In each situation, you have your own commandment. Don't ever forget that. Be careful that you are constantly focused on your own commandment into obedience. These days, I'd like to emphasize the word focus. Focus on your own commandment into obedience. Let it be that your focus is on what is my commandment here. Like you're in this country as a citizen. Your commandment is not... You know, there's one crazy man. Please, you guys should know when you're following crazy people. There are two crazy people out there right now that are in the news. They are not normal. One of them is always mounting protests for any cause. You know who I'm talking about. I shall not mention names. Please don't... See, there's something about following people, but there's something about approving them in your heart. Don't even approve him in your heart. He's not a normal human being. Don't say, that's what this country needs. This country does not need anarchists. This country does not need rebels. Let me tell you what this country needs. People like Dinwoke. Do you get my point? Yeah, people like you, sitting down, listening to the word of God, adapting your life to righteousness. That's what this country needs. This country does not need Igbo-smoking troublemakers. Because, you know, a lot of times Christians in their hearts will be approving things they're not supposed to approve. Yeah, physically they won't, but in their hearts. What I have as a duty at this point in time is to offer my government faith. If they do 20 things, let's just say 20. Let's assume, just for purpose of argument, 10 are very good and 10 are bad. Let's just take it like that. You don't know which one is good, you don't know which one is bad. But if you don't offer them faith, none of them will work. So you can't have a default position in which you don't want anything that the government says to work. Gave this illustration some time ago when this current petition industry bill was being written. You know, please, let me go over this again. Christians, let's stop behaving as if we are victims. We're actually victors. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. You know, we always feel, you know, attacked. As if we have not mentioned names now. Some religion people, they want to oppress us. I don't care. You can't oppress me if God did not give me to oppression. My rock has to sell me first. My rock is not like their rock. That's what Moses said. Our rock is not like their rock. See, what we Christians need to do all the time is to commend ourselves to God. If they gather against us, they will scatter. Let's not stop seeing everything as an attack. Even if indeed it was an attack, they work out for our good. I was told that people are spreading things out around. Pray against it. Praise against it. It's an agenda. So I asked one of our brothers who's in the industry. I said, I was told to pray. And I responded then. I said, brethren, I don't know enough about the petroleum industry to offer an opinion. But I can pray to God for justice. I can pray to him for some things. Let's take it there. But I will not pray against this bill, which I don't understand. A lot of people will pray against what they don't know. There will be no taxation in this country. Is your head correct? The government wants to tax, will not agree. And like Pastor Corey was saying during the TCC program, a lot of people can't pray. So what they will say, it's a sign that they are not saying anything. It is not because they are praying in the spirit. They are so thoughtless and empty. Oh, hide behind the spirit. Choco. Things too wonderful for them. You say they are praying. They're not praying in the spirit. And you say maybe Holy Spirit is helping. The Holy Spirit does not help angry people. Holy Spirit does not help offended people, bitter people. Holy Spirit doesn't have time for bitterness. Let's pray. In this country, no good, no good. Choco. You're not saying anything. Holy Spirit is not taking, you're not speaking in tongues. You're speaking gibberish. Nonsense. You are bitter. You are angry. You are ignorant. You are foolish. If you're Holy Spirit, that's why you will go to where and pray. The heart of somebody who's ignorant, Solomon calls fools, all right? He's ignorant, doesn't know what's going on. Somebody who's bitter, who feels attacked and oppressed, who does not understand that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world, who does not understand that my rock is not like their rock, who does not understand, who's feeling threatened. And you are the Holy Spirit, that's the person you want to go and pray with. Let me tell you the people that Holy Spirit prays with. Peter, John, they threatened them. They said, don't preach in that name again. They said, okay, can I say something before we go? Say yes. Say, judge for yourselves. Did you hear that? He said, judge for yourself now. You said, check out. Oga said we should preach in the name. Assistant leader said we should not preach in that name. Should we obey you or obey God? He said, judge for yourself. Judge. Those are the people that Holy Spirit can pray through. They already recognize who their rock is. So I said that time, I said, brethren, I don't know anything about this matter. Let's just pray about the one we know. Father God, we pray for justice. We pray for laws that will bring for development for us in this nation so we can have peace and prosperity. And that's our brother. I said, what do you think about this? We're told to pray against it. He said, do those people love this country? He's a Christian and he's inside the industry. He said, this is what we have been praying to God for more than 20 years. He said, we have worked on this thing, campaigned for this for over 20 years. How can they tell you to pray against this thing now? In my mind, I said, Father, I thank you. You know, it's feeling, you know, you can feel happy with yourself. Thank God I didn't fall for this. I was so happy with myself that day. Because I'm not a victim. That's the attitude I'm talking about. We're not victims. In every place, know your commandment. You are a citizen of this country. You are a Christian. What are your commandments? Number one, pray. I was saying to you earlier, I offer the government my faith. I've been insulted for it a lot of times, especially among my classmates. They call me APC bishop. Doesn't concern me. You call me PDP pastor when PDP was in power. So it doesn't, because my duty is I offer faith. I offer faith. That's what I'm saying. I have to offer faith to the people. That's what we are saying. Offering of faith that God. And let me tell you something. If you offer faith, you know, in the scriptures like that, you know, God will say they meant it for evil, but God will turn it for good. He said, what did God say concerning Balaam? I took his spirit of cursing. He came to curse. I turned it to that of a blessing. So I turned, literally, so I turned his cursing to a blessing. You can write laws so as to restrain the advancement of the gospel. Because, you know, lead the law, don't change it. Let's see the execution. The execution is going to be for what? The progress of the gospel. Yes.
That's why he's called God. That's why he's not called Dami. Do you follow my point? That's why he's not called Bankio. He's called God. There was a man like that. You know him. It's in your Bible. They will imprison him so that the gospel will not move. His name was Paul. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said this imprisonment is working. He said, now, you know, I was imprisoned in the royal palace. That's the Caesar's household. So, because of my caliber of prisoner, I have to have a private guard. Listen, Paul had a private guard 24 hours. Which meant they were always being changed. And you're a guard. Not only will you hear, but you must born again. No. See, and you know what? Oh, Father God in heaven will give you praise. This thing is not argument. It's not as you're coming. Let me explain to you that the world did not start in the Big Bang. And then you start arguing until the person is convinced. Socrates said, no, that was why he contradicted Plato. But Jesus said, that's not what Paul said, it's not the excellency of human wisdom. He says, it's a demonstration of the spirit and of power. You know what it means? How are you? What's your name? Claudius. You're the one guarding me for the next 12 hours? Yes. All right. If we're going to have a nice time. Do you know why I'm here? I had a Jewish troublemaker. Okay, assess this. Is this trouble? Tell you the story of Jesus Christ. You won't know when a tear will drop from your eye. And suddenly it tells you, your son is 6 years old. Yes. Don't worry. By the time you get home, you're off duty, he'll be well. How did you know he was sick? The Lord told me he was sick. Then you quickly close and rush home. And your son comes to the door to welcome you. Daddy, 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 daddy. And you look like this. Next shift, the other soldier, please, can I take your shift? Then you go home and tell the story. It's done with you. You're the new guard, yes. What's your name? Marcus. Marcus, how are you doing? There was one guy, they wanted to cut off his head that time. Marcus, yes. He said, yeah, sir, what about that? Yeah, when Jesus was being arrested, who's Jesus? Oh, you don't know why I'm here? That's it. Another story. By the time Paul had been there for some time, open your Bible. We should read that. Philippians chapter 1. It's not argument they used to preach this gospel. No. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now, let me just stop there. There's another one I want us to read. That's in Philippians chapter 4. Go down to verse 7. Say, the brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Did you see that? Especially those of Caesar's household. The whole of Caesar's palace had heard of why he's there. Revival has broken out there. Now people are from that place. He's a prisoner. They are sending a church. They are sending greetings to the church in Philippi. See, let me say, next life, in quotes. He said, Paul, do you want to go to prison? What will he say? Fast. Say, well, there's a congregation that we need to birth in that place. He didn't have to go there and be arguing. I can just imagine what those soldiers went through in the hands of Paul. Until they became a congregation that was sending, they were a church, sending a message to another church. So when people are writing some things against you, don't worry. You know, I said Christians worry too much. Let me sit on my message. In everything, you have your own commandment. In everything, you have your own commandment. Anytime you get to a particular crossroads in life, ask yourself, what is my commandment? You are relating with people, ask yourself, what is my commandment? You are sitting in a nation like this, what is my commandment? Whatever it is, each time ask yourself, what is my commandment? What is the importance of the commandments? Have we read our Bible reading? Okay, let's read it. There's a reason. It will help us. If I'm happy with the way the Holy Spirit has helped us to build up to this particular point. Hebrews chapter 3. So I was saying that we discover the Spirit. The Spirit enters into us, and that's what it's doing. That's what's working in us to produce something. Now let's remember this. What do we get? How does the word of God come? Three things we said. Number one, instructions and prophecies, yes. Stories, history, stories. And then the other one, we should remind ourselves, lyrics of songs. So you have Psalms, you have Proverbs, you have many, you know, lyrics. Things are lyricized for us. So when we sing those songs, Deuteronomy chapter 32 is a song. Moses wrote the song. Psalm 23 is a song. David wrote that one. There are different songs. Hebrews, they love poetry. Hebrew poetry is studied. All right? So you get there, those things. That's how the Word of God, remember, the Word of God is not the letters. These are the methods by which the Word of God comes across to you. All right? These are the methods by which the Word of God comes, passes through that. Remember that Word of God is what? A spirit. You really discover what it is by the effect it produces. If Moses were to hear, literally, when God created, he would not have heard anything apart from the rumblings. He would think it was a lightning. And the thunder, you just see something flash and you hear doom, doom. Except that suddenly the firmament will separate, the waters will gather, dry land will appear, vegetation will come out, the fish will appear in the oceans. Almost will be hearing this boom, doom. To be the voice of God is like the sound of what? Many waters. So Moses will be deducting. What did God say? He will be deducing it from the things that he's seen. And again, let me say this in your life. There are things God will do in your life. You will not even remember when you heard it. Not because you didn't hear it, but you heard rumblings. You heard noise. But the Spirit entered and created healing. That day you went for the meeting. That funny pastor was talking about the second coming of Christ. He was talking about ascension to heaven. He was telling the story of Marcus, whose ear was cut off. He was talking about Peter, how he was arguing with Jesus Christ. But you were present. You were paying attention. So everything was you heard that day was what? Rumblings. The sound of what? Many waters. The voice of God thunders, the Bible says. But when it thunders, it breaks the cedars in Lebanon. It makes the animals calve. You didn't hear anything, no. Just thunders. And the animal starts conceiving, they are giving birth. So from what you see, you know what God must have said. So that's why Moses said, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the waters above go this way. And the ones below come down this way. And the ones below gather. Let ground, the dry ground appear. And then let the earth bring forth vegetations. If he was there, who has time to be writing all those kind of things? Go, you're just hearing, you know the way the thunder sounds? That's what the Bible says. So sometimes you go to church, brethren, turn to your neighbor, say, go to church. Yeah, gather with brethren. Let them talk. See. So, we'll read our scripture. Well, let's talk. Gather with brethren. See that your smart device, fill it with something. When the word of God is being discussed, be present. You know, because God is doing things you're not even, your physical ears are not hearing. Sometimes when brethren laugh, they're not the ones laughing. It's the Holy Spirit thundering through them. Someone will just say something small. Everybody bursts into laughter. They just burst into laughter. It's not the laughter. It's not the mirth. You know, not that gaiety that has been produced at that point in time. It's the voice of God passing through any sound. So please stop staying at home on your own. Because when the word of God is passed, actually, the man who just preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ, and now he ascended to heaven. And everybody was looking, and light from the sun was blocking their view. Then the clouds finally came, and somebody's kidneys are recovering there. The kidneys are recovering. And you know, I've heard different preachers say this, that when they organize special meetings, healing meetings, that faith, Bible-believing, supposed Pentecostal, serious Christians hardly get healed there. That they usually get unbelievers. Those ones get mighty miracles. Those who come from what those who call like Orthodox churches, people that have not been preaching those kind of words, see, they get healed. So I asked the Lord, in my thoughts, why? The same preachers have explained, one of them, Ken Hagin particularly, he had explained again and again that those ones are supposed to, you see, like he pastored a church, and only twice, say every month of frequently they organize programs, and people came and got healed. But his church members, only twice did anybody get healed there. Years of organizing programs, healing meetings, only twice did anybody in his church get healed during the meetings. He said, yet for 12 years, he pastored. He didn't bury one church member. Not one. Then he now started telling stories. Did they get healed? Plenty of dangerous diseases. Told about one woman who was a preacher. When they went to see her, she was 70-something. She had a big cancer in her stomach. 6 months it took them, I think, if I get it right. But she got 100% well. They just used to go, share the word of God. I mean, the days of Dowie and this other man, John G. Lake. John G. Lake, you come. Dowie, you come. They lay hands on you. A lot of people get healed. A lot don't get anything. But whatever it is, if you don't get healed, you are not going. They had hostels around. Go and book a room and stay there. And come and hear preaching 3 times a day. That's the job. You're not saying that, you know, you are just to lodge close by. You can stay anywhere, but they used to preach morning, afternoon, and night. You just be coming to hear preaching. What's happening? The Spirit is entering. The Spirit is entering. So, Christians, what were those men saying to us? That they are supposed to constantly be infused. So that dramatic miracle that God did by the hands of Philip and all of those things that he went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He was just preaching Christ to them. So there are a lot of mighty, special demonstrations. But for those who had heard Christ, their job, their duty is to sit down, let the Spirit be constantly infused into them. And I'm saying to you, it's constantly being infused. Once the word of God is going forth, the word does not always make sense. Believers just gather, read Psalm 23, and they start laughing. Some will just be funny to them, but the Spirit is the one thundering through people. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That's why I say to your neighbor, go to church. You should go to church. It's not because of church attendance. That's not what I'm trying to say. You came here this morning, it qualifies. Even though you may not call this place church, you get my point? But you came to hear. What I do is teach. But when you go to a regular church on Sunday, as an example, they will sing a hymn. They will do praise worship. You know, kingdom, you don't do praise worship. You hardly hear songs here. There's a time my wife would even ask me, can I sing this song? I said, sing now. Because she's so used to it. This man not let anybody sing. Where I'm going, there are different ways. This is just one way. Those songs in church, now, serious church, I don't mean church where we just go to do boogaloo. You know, there's... let's not talk about that, but you go to church, serious church, they just singing song. God of miracle, now my papa, oh. That song is infusing the spirit. Yeah, it's infusing the spirit. They take a hymn. Immortal, invisible, God only why. You know the song. It's infusing the spirit. They pray, people are praying. Please, brethren, don't stay in your house. See, your problem, are you listening to me? Is that your feeling? Some very, very bad Christians, they actually feel like they don't need anybody. They are okay. They have their Bible. Thank you for saying Chineke. Because it's a very crazy idea. I've seen them before. Just feel like, you know, they'll be looking at everybody as if, and I don't know. You are lower level souls. Thank you. So that's how people gather together. The birds of the same feather flock. They're just flocking. Or we shall like sheep, flock or sheep. They feel like they're not the sheep, they are special shepherds. There are Christians that feel like they are shepherds. Let me tell you, we are all sheep. They are big sheep, small sheep, but sheep, all the same. No, they're listening to me. They're listening to me. Some people, they think streaming is all the God. There's a spirit you will get. You, look at your eye, looking at me here. There's a spirit you will get for just being present with people. Some people are sick because nobody hugs them. Do you know that? I'm telling you. Today I know I'm talking to somebody. Nobody hugs them. They're like, Go and greet your pastor. Beg him, say, oh God, give me a hug. I know you're a man, put your head on the shoulder. That is why your sickness wants to kill you there. Your head is not even correct again because of what is. I'm telling you. You're spending money on medicine. And because you have, you are not bothered. Don't worry. You know, this is my job. I know it, naturally speaking. You will soon get something we medicine not get, that they not get in medicine. Oh, yes. There are plenty there now. The diseases are plenty. Doctor will just look at you and say, like, his job just to let you know that there's nothing they can do. And God said, all of this because you won't go and shake hands and smile with somebody and buy food and share. You don't eat it. You know, some people don't. See, I've been telling you. Some people think that Pastor Banky likes to do party. It's not true. If you see me do party, see my wife's birthday party, you see me dancing. That day, I know when the spirit hit me when I wanted to enter the hall. I was at the door. Bam! The spirit entered my head like this. I left everybody be. They had to come back. Daddy, come back. Daddy, come back. Somebody said, Pastor, you sabi dance? I said, no. Did David sabi dance? I said, David, you sabi dance? If you sabi dance, why he clothes fall come out? What am I trying to say? Do you know, I grew up and realized that if you are not celebrating, something is wrong with you. There's a kind of, see, brethren, your next birthday, back of your house, you have space. Just hire one aboki that knows how to, you know, in Nigeria, job is shared. If you see an evil man making suya, don't eat it. It's poisonous. You get my point. do you understand my point? That somebody said, it's the constitution. It's the Nigerian law section. What? I don't know which section. Get the guy who knows how to do real balangu. You know that kind of thing? You know, there are different types of suya. Some people don't even know. Oh, you didn't know? Now you are learning some things. Get one. Don't go and get one. You know, there are goats that when you see themselves, they're looking very lean. Now, bone, I won't come chop for your house. Get goat that has meat like cow. Or go and buy one big section of a cow and give the man, say, my friends are coming. Just so you are there. Just greet everybody, laugh, and then let them just gist and eat. And when they are going home, you discover your problems have disappeared. So that you sit down and they see all that money you're keeping in the bank. See, when you die, nobody will know it's there. You know, these banks, one of the ways they make money is by people who die and nobody knows. No, is it, you call them wicked. Is it their fault? Are they the reason why your family didn't tell you, or you didn't tell your family you had money somewhere? And of course, when the person dies now, what can they do? Because you won't go to church. Because you won't interact with brethren. Because you won't do suya. Brethren, the word of God comes differently. That's the point I'm making. There's the kind of word that flows when men are eating suya. I know what I'm telling you. The priest, what is the main thing they used to do? Is chop meat. Go and read your Bible. Or is that not so? Yeah, those priests. There's a reason why God gave them meat to eat. Because the Bible called them teaching priests. They will offer sacrifice on your behalf. The men must chop the meat. Most of that sacrifice they give to God is to the priest. Eating of meat transmits a spirit. I don't mean eating in your room. I mean when brethren gather together. You should join the gathering of brethren. That's what I'm saying. Some people, the mental problem they have is that isolation that's causing it. Yes. Yeah, I'm telling you. Go to church. Join prayer. Sing hymns. Hear the word. Your life will change. If you are listening to me, you're above 30. They have never, and you have small money, not like you don't have at all. People have never gathered on your birthday. Your next birthday, I command you. People must gather. Upper comes. Guilt will not kill you. He didn't come and celebrate with you. It doesn't have to be so huge and big. See, one of the things people must do for your life, in your life, your name must register when thanksgiving is being said in heaven. Your name must register. Hey, Father God, I want to thank you. And then they mention your name. If they won't mention you at home, bring them to your house and make them mention it. You can't cook better for people. And say, let us thank God. They will thank, do you remember, the thanksgiving will rise from the bowels. It's called venison. Man of God, that also. Brethren, let people thank God for your life. It's important. Doesn't have to be a big party and you go and hire a DJ, no. Just amongst yourselves in the house. And stop, you know, people like to save money too much. Say, this money now we can use for something good. When we eat with you, you think it's something bad. No, when we eat with you, you think it's something bad. See, there's a way spiritual things work, brethren. It's not everything that you calculate. You deposit 10,000, they give you interest, 600 naira a month, and you think you have invested. If you deposit 10,000, who could give you 700 naira a month? Maybe 75 naira a month or something like that. You will leave it more than that. No, that's all now. Let me tell you about Christianity. First, wealth is not a game of chance. Wealth is given by God. That's what is called treasure in heaven. You can have treasure in heaven. You can have treasure in heaven. I know what I'm saying. You can have treasure in heaven. It's possible to go and buy shares and it appreciates. Okay? There's only one thing about it. Okay, you invest 10,000 naira, it appreciates massively. And in a short while, it's 50, it's 100,000, it's 200,000. Now, I want you to understand something. It will never translate to better health. It will never translate, I'm telling you, to better relationships with your wife, your husband, your children. Never. There's no way. I don't care how much, you know, how much your stock portfolio increases. It will never translate to better health. Let me tell you what treasure in heaven does. Treasure in heaven produces treasure on the earth. One, treasure in heaven elongates life. Because the man that did not have, what happened to him? That night he died. Do you remember? It prolongs life. It releases the spirit in different health. You see, having a long life and having a healthy life are two different things. Treasure in heaven not only prolongs life, it gives joy in that long life. It gives health in that long life. Treasure in heaven can be transmitted easily down generations without there being a physical exchange of goods. Yeah. So what I'm saying, when people get so worldly, the only thing they call profit is the one that buying shares in the market, physical trading brings to them. Have you seen before say, this person invested 20,000 naira, so and so. Right now, the money is worth 200 million. If I had invested my 20,000 that time, I wonder what it would be worth now. Nothing. You've not heard that story before? Yeah, someone said, Zenith Bank started with, I don't know whether it's really true, but let's say one particular bank started with 20 million naira. One other man built a house of 20 million naira. Look at it now. Look at this bank now. Look at that house. I said, see, bro, if that guy didn't build that house, he would have eaten that money. If he has built a bank, do you know how many banks have collapsed, built with more money? What do you think is just investing money that produces something? And indeed, if you were that kind of person that could produce that size of output, you know, in the industry, it will have come one other way. One way or the other, it will start. Do you get my point? One time investment you missed is not the reason why it didn't happen now. There were more investments along the line. And brethren, let's face it, many people made those investments, they are broke. You know what I'm saying? All of these things. It's not every time you'll be calculating. Calculating. Let's buy this one to equip the house. Let's buy this one. Let's invest this one. Let's just buy land now. You've never been happy with that money. You are saving like an unbeliever. You are too full of thought for tomorrow. I'm talking to people this today. We've not started my message. You say, sir. I said, I've not started my message. What's the problem? Are you hurrying to go somewhere? You that have not seen for some time. You are going to sit down with me here today for a very long time. The Lord is good. See, that 10,000 we're talking about, they're supposed to invest. I'm talking to some people. God said, okay, you've been investing for a long time. Which one have you ever eaten? I'm talking, okay, discussion led to it recently, spirit of the tithe, all right? People talk about tithe and all that. I said, the New Testament tithe is who? Yes. The cheerful, the continual, the generous giver is the New Testament tither. And something led to it. Well, I was having a discussion with some people last week, earlier this week. I came to a conclusion. There are a lot of people, tithing for them is a cop out, an escape. It's pay God off. Did you get my point?
Yes, sir.
It's pay God off. After that, they are free to do their worldly, selfish, fearful, worried life. After paying God off. I got 10 million. I'll give you 1 million. Be happy. They say, tithe and offering. Okay, take 500,000. 1.5. Be happy. That's why pastors keep on coming up with ideas to collect more. Yes. See, because after we've collected tithe, we've been looking at you. We say it is tithe and offering. We now arrive suddenly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere. That means when money was scarce in church, we invented first fruit. Yeah, first fruit. So it's a recent invention. We can invent. Then one day, one guy came. He invented another one, daily seed. Oh. Hey, Jeremiah, you're not going home today. Daily seed. That the Bible says that the apostles. How did he say it? Olenka, you were there that time now. See, the guy used to bring seed daily. So now what they are going to do is they're bringing daily seed to the church. All kinds of inventions, because this money, it must come out. And when the money there was not enough, go and look and say, ah, they born for this church, you go redeem your firstborn. You know, see, I don't blame these pastors. It's you that started it. You locked it in the bottle. So we are all struggling to get out. Ah, God have mercy on us. Do you know, if we live generously, the New Testament tither is a continuous, cheerful, and generous giver who doesn't worry about tomorrow. Why I remember that I'm talking to some people is because the spirit of the tithe, the spirit of it, forget the legalistic one we try to do, the spirit of it demands that even you eat well. Not only do you give well, you eat well. You make people in your household happy. It's part of you. You make yourself happy. Under the law, tithe number one was party tithe. Some people say, what is party tithe? Go and read your Bible. I won't teach you that one today. I don't have the time. Tithe number one was party tithe. Okay, let me use a word that sounds more scriptural. Was celebration, thanksgiving. Yeah, that's number one. But we don't talk that one these days. Say, bring to the... No. Most of it in the Bible was not in the storehouse. Most of it was in the chop house. You know what they call chop house? Yes. We had to eat it. Please, brethren, what am I saying of these things? I don't know. It's a word that just on my heart for a lot of people. You know, how do I say it now? I don't know. Is there an English word for it? Can you see what I'm trying to say in English? I'm looking for how I will get it out now. Basically, okay, let me give you different things so that you can manufacture a word for me. You have to come out from inside that shell. You have to interact and fellowship with the brethren and take of the Spirit of God that's oozing from them. You have to stop worrying, thinking that you can arrange with your own hands your future. Does the word exist for this I've said? Okay, in fact. Huh? Okay. No, that's a sentence now. Okay, you should allow for spiritual diffusion, which is very good. That's a very good word. Spiritual diffusion. Yes. Yes. Spiritual diffusion. You need it. Brethren. No, a lot of people that listen to me, that's why they are sick. They think, see, you can't cure yourself with medicine. No, you can't. God will cure you. Amen? Now, it is possible for him to use medicine. I'm not saying he doesn't use it. I'm not saying he doesn't use it. He does. But that is not the cure you focus on. You have to focus on the Lord in such a, that is like attentively, expectantly. Very important. You have to, there has to be this expectation in you, but you have to attend to the word, whichever way it will come. And it comes different ways. You know, we've said that songs, lyrics, but the environment, different environments. Some people have done, they now worship streaming. You don't go to church again because you are streaming. When you get there, they will sing songs. They will. They will shake your hand. Somebody's listening to me, really. You need to go and greet your pastor and give him a hug. He needs to. You will leave the place, you'll be well. So your heart has been beating anyhow. You get why? In the way we say it. Say, you get why? You get why? You need to free the heart. That's what I'm saying. Free it. It's constrained by too much worries. Now, let's start our message because this one. I will preach today. See, I'm going to preach today. You get what I said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm preaching this evening. Men's program.
Yes, sir.
Truth Assembly.
Yes, sir.
Please, I need to say this, brethren. I know we have... Hi. Joe, how did time go like this? Reverend, how time go like this? I'm really surprised, though, because we never even do one line. Oh, what have we been saying? Oh, God is, but I don't go to church. Please, you guys should try and repent so that we can preach. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, this word of God is our life. Amen? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That line that shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend. That light, that life that breaks down every disease, even if it's incurable. According to the doctors, with him, nothing is impossible. That life that opens the eyes of the blind, that's what we're talking about. And we're saying we must allow it to what? We must allow it to flow. We're saying we must allow it to flow. We must go after the flow of it. We must. Brethren, we must. Remember, let me just hook on this one and then I'll have to leave it there. You know, I said that in every situation you have your own, what? Your commandment. You have your own commandment. In every situation, you have your own commandment. As believers, we have our commandment generally. And as individuals, the Holy Spirit will light upon you and tell you your own instruction. Please, that is very important. There are general commandments for Christians. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's a general commandment. In everything, give thanks. It's a general commandment. I've talked a lot of things now about how we handle our lives. They are general commandments. But each time the word is coming forth, individual commandments may show up. They usually are derived from the general commandments, though. I gave an illustration once when I was in university, one of the best illustrations I have. I went to pray. It happened twice, in fact, about three times that I was a medical student, and occasionally you ran into subjects that were difficult. For you, maybe for other people, it was not. I particularly didn't find one of my subjects in my third year interesting at all. And the exam was coming, I had to go and pray. Because I said, Lord, this is not easy. That day when I finished praying, and it's happened to me many times. I still had one a few days ago. My wife and I were still talking about it. I just woke up and I knew the instruction God wanted me to, you know, carry out. So that when I finished praying, as I finished praying, the first thing I left there with was, stop saying biochemistry is volatile. It was a statement. It was clear. So I said, okay. So I stopped saying it. The number two said, start reading it. Because I didn't used to read it. Do you know, brethren? I've told the story many times. As soon as I got to class that evening, a classmate of mine was sent by God. It was a satanic temptation, though, to tempt me on that thing. First thing I just sat down and said, Kai, I sat beside him. He said, this thing is volatile. I turned to him. I said, it's not volatile. The statement I used to make myself 2 hours ago. I said, it's not volatile. I told him a second time, I said, it's not volatile. I told him the third time, I said, biochemistry is not volatile. He told me, he said, waiting now, is it fine? I just made a statement. Then you have to, I spoke once, three times you have replied. What he did not know that I was obeying something that he wasn't aware of was my personal instruction. On that one, God had to, Holy Spirit had to go to class. Your lectures are by 8 o'clock. I created a habit for no reason of just leaving my room and going to class when I like. Let me tell you how bad it was. One of my classmates, one day we did our end of posting test in ophthalmology. I remember it was ophthalmology. He got to class. Maybe they didn't tell us on time. And they saved the test. And in his mind, oh, Banky will miss this test. He knew I would miss it. So you know what he did? He rushed his own and left the class to run to the hostel to come and get me. As he came down, he saw me. I just reached the lecture hall was upstairs. It was our specialty postings. Lecture was upstairs. He said, get in there. Test is going on. Eh? The last power of the steps. Our lecturer looked at me and said, you, where are you coming from? Sorry, ma'am. Give me my paper. I quickly ran down there. I started. It was a habit. Don't ask me. I just created out of nothing. It was around that period. What another subject that was coming up? I went up. You know, God had taught me to pray for a long time. I told you, when you not get ready, now you're going to do kaka, 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 kaka. When I get problem, God, please, we get to talk. And Ezekiah's prayer is the best. You bring out the book and show God chapter 1. Even the angels will look at it. Ah, engineering mathematics. The angels will say, we don't know it. So it's a good. Only the Lord can help us. I settle down. Dear Father, again, the instruction will come. You're a student. What are you doing in your hostel by 8 o'clock? I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. I adjusted my life immediately. Person, I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you what, I told you that biochemistry story. I obeyed my personal instructions. You know what happened at the end of the day? Exam. 4 questions. I was supposed to answer 5 questions. I read 4 of them just before the exam. 3 of them as I was entering was the last thing I did. 1 was the night before. And listen, when I say 3 of them, those 3, it was like an instruction from heaven. I'm reading. I still remember till today. You see, you have not revised a metabolism of branching amino acids. Oh, yes. I quickly open it. I start reading, checking it, doing my, drawing the formula and all of that. I finished. De novo synthesis of cholesterol. You've not read it. It first comes. I quickly open there again. I read. So what about the biochemistry of muscular contraction? That's true. I quickly read it. This, I'm telling you, one those days, I have not forgotten them since 1988. To let you know, it was not human. It was divine. I look back, it was because I obeyed my personal commandments. See, in different areas of your life, something I've said to you before, when the word of God comes, that's why I don't like all this, everybody rush for keto diet. Tomorrow, rush for anaerobe diet. The other day, rush for vegetarian diet. The hallelujah diet. Then thank God diet. And then diet of iniquity. All kinds of things. I don't like it. Because, fact, one man's meat is another man's poison. What will work for you will not work for you. But as we study and pay attention, cloven tongues, we talked about it that time. Each person will be hearing your own word. But my emphasis for today, pay attention, general instructions, and the specific instructions. That's the beautiful thing about Christianity. There are specific instructions. If you target one area, bam, the way you talk here is not good. Boom. You react to your wife like this is not right. Boom. You don't talk to your father often enough. Boom. How much money do you give to this person? Like that. A lot of Christians can pray. Like I said during TCC's program, if you pray, you're not coming out with instructions. Something's wrong. When you finish praying, life must change. You can't just be praying. Life is not changing. No. And when I say life change, I don't mean when you finish praying, money will drop. No. The one you have, the way you spend it will change. And do you know what that is for? Let me just say that and then we'll go. I'm forced to stop. Let's just read that Hebrews chapter 3. Then I will just, I will stop. For time's sake, I won't read everything I wanted to read. Let me just start from verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you
an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And I'm jumping because of time. He now said, for who provoked him, verse 16, when they had heard, indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, said they were the same ones he was angry with for 40 years. Why was he angry? Please, I'm jumping because of time. In verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see, verse 19 is very important, so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now, unbelief is disobedience. Remember that. They were disobedient, it was unbelief. He now said in chapter 4, God's promise, he said, let us fear. While he promised, let me read a New Living Translation just to save time. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Notice that. Why would they fail to experience it? Please, let me just stop reading because of time. Just explain. Why would they fail to experience it? Because of what? Disobedience. Because of unbelief. That is, if you want to enter into the rest, all right, look at verses of chapter 4. So God's rest is there for people to enter. Because those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed. Please notice that verse 6 of chapter 4. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Let me stop reading here. Did you notice that? Why they failed to enter? How are they supposed to enter? Because of what? Obedience. They would have entered if they had obeyed. You know what I'm saying? The obedience to the word, which we have established here, comes by what? Attention. Obedience to the word, which comes by paying attention. By being committed. What I wanted to teach today, which I said we didn't get to, is that issue of, last time the same thing happened, I wanted to talk about what it means to be here, a doer of the word. Now, what that obedience does is to build for you the rest of God. Do you get my point? It's as if to say, let me put it this way. It builds a nest that's the rest of God for you. This obedience we're talking about is actually building something for you. Please, it's just, let me close, because actually obedience is building for you a nest that's called the rest of God. Have you ever seen a bird build its nest? Even if you didn't see physically, you've seen videos of it. Yeah. The line struck. Those birds are very intelligent, you know. They first start with sticks. They lay the sticks down. Then when they are done with sticks, they start picking straw. They now lay the straw on it. These guys will whip the thing until just a small entrance. Now, where I'm going is that each time you obey a word, you are laying down a stick. Each time you find you focus on a word and it produces obedience from your devotion. Now, that's very important. It produces what? Obedience from your devotion. Another straw is laid. Anytime you repeat obedience of one that you knew before, you strengthen what has been laid down. You add more straws. You add more straws. What you are building is called the rest of God. You are entering into his rest. Do you get my point?
Yes.
See, one will say rest. In the Bible, it says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. David built that. He ended up where God planned for him. You know, we said it before. It was not by his own strength that he became king in Israel. The Bible declared it was not by strength, their own strength, they took the land. Please, brethren, understand this. It's always by obedience. See, don't run through this life trying to be smart and learning what methods that we have used. This life, focus on what is the word I'm supposed to know, focus on, and obey. Do you get my point? Because that's how God is building your own nest of rest. A lot of people have gone to do ministry. They want to do the way the Bishop David Oyedepo did it. The way Adeboye did it. And they never enter into their own rest. People want to build prosperity, as an example. Build businesses. They want to follow the method somebody else used before them. They make some socks. They do okay, fairly okay, but they never enter into their own rest. They never do. They never do. They do everything and say it's not working. Christian life is very personalized though. Do you get my point? Yeah, it is. It is. God doesn't want everybody doing everything the same way. See, let me tell you, when I first started out having ideas about ministry, let me tell you my plan. In summary, the church I was going to start, the name is Jesus Assembly. I wrote it down. I designed it. I won't tell you where. It was supposed to be located in North Central. This one that I've been in Enugu. It was during the NYSC that I began to understand, number one, this church idea, oh boy, forget it. Go and teach. Just go and teach. Just go and teach. People have told me, if you don't pastor a church, you won't have respect. I told the guy who told me, I said, I'm not doing it for respect. I just want to teach. I don't have time to begin stories about my life again. But without a shadow of doubt in my heart, I knew my own instructions for ministry did not follow the pattern even I knew beforehand. And I'm very careful to retain it that way. I've not had any contrary instruction. Instructions come. As of today, I've done this now for 20-something years. Bro, I've not had any reason to do it differently. So I look at people like Kenneth Hagin. I take inspiration from them. Derek Prince, who I quote the most, is one I quote the most, Derek Prince. Nice inspiration. They might even have these regular meetings I had. We were just going from one place to another, then recording. He was heavy in broadcasting. He was very heavy in broadcasting. Just to let you know, the instructions vary. But everybody, because when they saw that Miss last birthday, maybe his last birthday was what name was that car? That GL500 that they gave him. As a small boys now want to start church too. Why? Deep inside their heart. Yeah, my 40th birthday. They can't wait till Damiso was his 50th birthday. The other has to be 40th. And they keep struggling. You won't know why. Because their instructions, they are not obeying it. The rest of God is not being built for them. Brethren, sadly, I have to stop here. Yeah, I just have to stop here. I'm just looking at the time. Not because of you alone. I'm thinking of you. But bro, I want to go home and go and rest again. I have to go and preach in the evening. So let's just bow down our heads and say, Father, thank you for this instruction you are giving us today. Let's just thank the Lord.